Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast with your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Divert your phone and grab a brew as Waz and Nick unpack tips, tales, secrets and stuff-ups from guests both inside and outside your trade, helping educate and inspire you to break the cycle of gut-busting and money stress and create a true trade business.
52 Wallaby Way, Sydney.
I don't think you get to hear the ridiculous message, listeners, that gets played by the computer voice to say this meeting is being recorded, Coxie.
Because it was meant to be me saying 52 Wallaby Way, Sydney. 52 Wallaby Way, Sydney. Because we're coming to Sydney.
Yes, yes.
I'm like, is it Dory? Is it Dory that had the memory that didn't have a memory, more to the point?
Isn't it ironic that you can't remember that it was Dory that didn't have the memory thing?
I think I got a bit on my plate this week and some incidental facts may have slipped through.
I was just going to say it's been one of those weeks here at Tradies in Business HQ. G'day, listeners. We are coming to Sydney. Newsflash. If you don't know, then, and if you happen to be in Sydney, sorry to the Victorians, you're not allowed to leave at the moment. Again, sorry. But if you're around Sydney and you're a listener or a stalker or a client of Tradies in Business and you'd like to come down and meet us, Waz and Nick, we are going to be at the Coogee Bay Hotel on Thursday, the 3rd of June at 3 p.m. Now, it's not just us, Coxie.
No, it's not.
Pulled in a couple of people who know some stuff about some things, and they're going to talk about some other stuff.
Yeah, it's not just that sounds really vague, but I can promise you beers. The beers will be on us.
Beers.
Come for a wine.
Yeah, beer and a wine. We're going to shout. So if you turn up, we'll buy you a free drink. As opposed to buying you an expensive drink. And we've got some industry experts coming down to chat through probably your concerns and questions, or even if you just want to come and listen and stand up the back, we'll be talking about materials shortages, we'll be talking about rising labor costs, tough staffing and recruitment issues, and pretty much anything else that you want to chat through. We will have some of our tradiepreneurs down there as well, so our top-level clients are coming down, so you can rub shoulders with trade business owner royalty. And and we might even have a snapper there, which is not a crocodile but a photographer, taking some photos and stuff. So get on down, Coogee Bay Hotel, 3 p.m. June 3rd, 2021. If you're listening to this after that date, really sorry we missed you. But you should have been listening live to the episodes as they were released and then you would have known.
This is on you.
Now, today's episode is a great one, actually. It's a bit left of field, not something that we had thought about, to be honest. And it's a cracker about the diamonds in your own backyard. So if you do any form of marketing or advertising, you really need to listen to this episode, Coxie.
Enjoy.
All righty. So g'day, Coxie.
Good morning, Warren. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm hoping that not everybody heard the security announcement that Zoom now has on these calls to say it's being recorded, just in case we weren't sure. We are talking about, I guess, repeat business. It's a big part of trade businesses, and we bang on about it. Actually, I don't think we bang on it about it enough, Coxie.
It's probably one of our little secrets that we keep up our sleeve, isn't it? Members only, we're only going to tell you. Isn't that the way it normally goes?
Yeah, this is like lifting the lid on the secret sauce for our tradiepreneur community and sharing it with you as a podcast listener. We are chatting to somebody who knows a lot about repeat business and rebooking clients, and that is a man by the name of David Waring. I'm going to drop the bomb straight away, mate. Former Uber driver. we'll just get that out in the open, David. Welcome to the podcast.
Absolutely. You'd be amazed. Thank you. You'd be amazed how many great business ideas come out of an Uber ride.
You are not wrong.
So, mate, you are one part of a business called repeatbooking.com.au is the URL, obviously. But you haven't always done software and stuff, mate, other than Uber driving? Can you give our listeners a bit of a background as to how you came to be doing this, David?
Yeah, so thanks very much. So I'm a marketing guy, but mainly I've actually worked for car companies for 25 years. So car companies are all about wanting to get you as a customer and to keep you as a customer and to keep you coming back for your service bookings and lots of maintenance and make sure that you don't go and see a mechanic who's outside of the dealer network. And this is what I did for the vast majority of my career. I worked for three manufacturers, and I actually lived in Singapore for 10 years doing it. So I came back to Australia and thought, how can I harness all of that experience that I learned about how to deal with customers and make it better for consumers, but also small business operators? So that's a little bit about my background and about how I've worked in what we call direct marketing or loyalty marketing for pretty much three decades.
Cool. It's brave of you to give away your age on the podcast, David.
Yeah, I'm recently turned 50, so regrettably I'm just having to own that one these days.
No shame in being 50.
I think it's one of those things that we just embrace as we get to that age. Denial doesn't work anymore.
I'll probably add to just if you want a little more with this. So you were good enough to drop the bomb that I have been an Uber driver. And, yeah, from 2016 through to about 2019, I did about 9,999 Uber trips. I refused to do the extra one. But I actually met my two business partners for both our businesses. So we have a business called repeatbooking.com, which is for some of your listeners, so tradies and small business operators who want to get smart with automated marketing systems. But our first business we started was a business called Get Reminded, and we have over 50,000 people who've now downloaded the free app for Get Reminded, and that's all about being reminded of when your car rego is due and when your insurance policies are due. And I built these businesses with two people I met in two Uber rides.
You'll have to.
The intelligent people use an Uber, right? There's a new business slogan for them.
The rebels and the thinkers.
Or alternatively, they could say, Uber, it's not like it used to be.
Well, it's not a bad segue into, I guess, business and doing business as a tradie in business. There's a oft overlooked opportunity for a lot of businesses. We certainly find, Coxie and I, in our work as the founders of the Tradiepreneur program and the work we do as business coaches and mentors, is that a lot of people are looking outwards for business. They're looking at what marketing do I need to do, and should I be running Facebook ads, and what about, you know, pay-per-click Google ads? Where do I go find more customers? And not enough people, actually not many people to be honest, look inwards at, well, who have we already got a relationship with? And that was why we were keen to chat with you today, David, because this not only brings that conversation to light, but also brings a system and a way of actually making this easy for business owners to do that. So tell us a bit more about, I guess, your philosophy as well around that particular point.
So it's really interesting that you talk about the difference between, in marketing terms, we talk about acquisition marketing as opposed to retention marketing. Retention is keeping the ones you've already got, acquisition being going out and finding new ones. Now, there's an old adage in marketing world that says that it costs 15 times more to get a new customer than it is to keep your existing customer. Now, but that sounds really good in a textbook. But in reality, bringing it to life and getting people to understand why that's the case is a very difficult thing to do. But here's the hilarious thing, is even the biggest companies in Australia like Telstra and AAMI Insurance and whatever, they give the best deals to the new customers, not the existing customers.
Yep.
So if you think that if one of your listeners or one of your tradie customers feels that they're not doing a great job in retention marketing, don't worry. Lots of really big businesses do a terrible job of it as well. Absolutely terrible job. I mean, only last month I had to recontract with one of the big three mobile phone providers for myself. And I was told very politely that the really good deal that was being advertised on the radio was only available to new customers. And I have been with them for a long, long time.
Ridiculous.
And it just blows my mind. It really does.
It's madness.
And whether or not you're talking about the tradie environment and the small business environment or the big business environment, we're surrounded by choice these days. It's really easy to move.
Mm.
And in the case of your listeners and the people who try and glean some knowledge out of what you guys are sharing here, the most important thing on that is that most customers forget who they are within 3 months of them doing a job.
Yep.
Because they've lost your phone number, or the fridge magnet's fallen off the fridge, and more importantly, the small business owner, the tradie, probably doesn't have any kind of automated follow-up marketing system to make sure that he stays top of mind. So, but I wanted to make sure that your listeners know that they're not alone. Even the biggest customers in Australia do exactly the same thing.
Mm. Oh, it's easy to let it slip, unfortunately. Sorry,
yeah.
Warren.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and remarkably, when we worked on this philosophy, and this is very much a car company philosophy. This is a big company philosophy. And let me assure you that there are companies overseas and in Australia that do this well, that spend millions of dollars a year to have automated marketing systems with emails that miraculously arrive at exactly the right time. And you think, how on earth did they know that? Or Facebook advertising that seems to arrive and remarkably exactly when you've just written something or searched for something. And we could talk all day about automated systems and social media listening tactics and the like, and I would terrify most of your listeners with what is actually out there to predictively send you this information. But all we've decided to do was to say, why don't we try and bring a really cost-effective way to let small businesses do what big businesses are capable of doing? And that's what we did when we built a business called repeatbooking.com. And we do it in Australia under repeatbooking.com.au.
So before we jump into the how, I guess I'm fascinated by why. I love a bit of cereal packet philosophy and, you know, pulling things apart. Why do you think it is that businesses, including big business, don't put more focus on existing customers and, you know, retention strategies? I have had the same experience for 25 years with product providers and service providers, and I love to I love to wind my darling wife up when she gets hot under the collar about the insurance company, you know, putting up the car insurance rate and finding out they're running a good deal for new customers. And she literally gets on the phone and argues with the call center person about, you know, well, why can't you just do me that same price? This is ridiculous. It's like, honey, just let it go.
Like, I think I like your wife.
So why don't more businesses actually, or why do you think more businesses don't put more focus on retention and are so driven to do the acquisition stuff?
So I think luckily now that I'm not attached to an industry or a company, I can be brutally honest about this. But having been on the corporate side, I can tell you what the real answer is. Sales departments hold the control in all of these companies, not the marketing departments. Sales departments get paid sales commissions on new customers. Mm-hmm. All the metrics for top line management is all based on new customers, new business all the time. And retention marketing is a bit, it's a bit dull for some people. But the reality is it's also the most profitable part of your business. And, you know, having lived overseas for 10 years, I would say that our customer relationship style marketing that we have in Australia is pretty much in the sandpit and at kindergarten level on a global level, on a global scale. We don't look after customers well in this country.
I was waiting to hear what you're actually going to say. I thought my guess is it's terrible. And if you were going to say Australia's, you know, retention marketing is actually pretty good, I'd be like, not really seeing it as a consumer.
I mean, I'll pick up on what you said about your wife and your car insurance. Please, somebody explain to me how a depreciating asset can have an increasing insurance policy. Just help me to understand.
I don't think I can, David. I think that one's lost on me totally.
It hurts my brain on a Friday morning. Yeah.
But we call it in the get reminded repeat booking world, we call it the loyalty tax.
Mm. Yeah, that's pretty much it. You
pay more for staying with an existing provider.
Mm.
Yeah.
The good news is, though, it's quite simple for us as trade business owners or small business owners to make a change and stand out from the crowd, right?
Well, it is, but it's also got to be a modern solution. That's the thing. Mm. So, you know, we used to live in a world 20 years ago where a tradie or a small business would print flyers and put them in the letterboxes. That's not going to work anymore. Or you'd go and see if you can insert them in a local newspaper or so. But people don't read the newspapers anymore. So we've all got to adjust to a more modern way of approaching these things. Now, the most important thing that everybody has in their world today is one of these things, okay? Everybody has their life on these things. Now, I'll give you an interesting insight. So when we started Get Reminded that we have now 50,000 users, we found out in the first month that 92% of the people who interacted with us were using a mobile phone. Mm. So we went, oh, my God, we're going to have to build an app now because everybody wants to interact on a phone. So then we had to go and find 300 grand somehow to go and build an app. And I don't know about you guys, but vaporizing 300 grand is pretty hard. So I've got a bit of experience in understanding how people interact, whether it's businesses or whether it's individuals. So there are ways to do it, but it's got to be cost effective. It's got to be direct into the hands of the customers that you want. And there's got to be a way that you can either track it or that you can get an immediate response from the customer directly back to you.
It's something that I also think a lot of trade businesses overlook, that fact that most people use a mobile. And I'll be honest, for us here at Tradies in Business, we've learned that lesson even. And I guess, you know, to those of you listening to this episode, I suspect there's not many of you sitting in front of your computer listening to this on the web version or from our website. And even our content that we have for our members, we've had to do a lot of work to make our Tradiepreneur member content mobile friendly, because most people are watching how to fill out your cash flow forecast spreadsheet on their mobile phone, sometimes sitting on the dunny, I suspect. But, you know, they're using a mobile device, and, you know, trade business customers are no different to that. So maybe if we talk a bit about the how, you know, is it hard? Because I think a lot of people we talk to, they're like, oh, yeah, I've got email addresses. They're in my bookkeeping software. And you just see their brains start to get a bit of steam coming off it because they're thinking, how the heck do I sit there and type an email to 1,500 past clients? And do they even want to hear from me? And they're just going to get cranky because I'm sending them a message. And how have you dealt with those sorts of resistance thoughts, David?
Yeah, so I don't think that there's so much resistance. I think that in the world of automated marketing or marketing processes, we have a saying, and permit me to use some colourful language, but we have a saying which is shit in, shit out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a list of invoices that of customers that you've serviced in the last 1 year or 2 years, and you've got 50% of them have got an email address and 20% of them have got a landline phone number and 10% of them have got a mobile phone number, you're not in a good starting point to be able to have an automated system, because you've got to be very, very clear how you're going to deliver your message to a customer or a customer of yours. So we know from our experience that the best way for a tradie to deliver his message is SMS, because if he collects the mobile phone number of all of his clients, firstly, he can automate it. Secondly, he doesn't have to do it manually. So he can set up a message and be able to work out when he wants to send them. And the third one is that there's a direct response mechanism. But the best thing is that under the Privacy Act, which is pretty strict in this country, he has the deferred right to send one message after servicing a client to be able to initiate a return contact without being in breach of the Privacy Act.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. We've become very compliant with the privacy.
You know it inside out.
Well, I do. But in fundamental terms, when a tradesman or a small business operator collects your telephone number for the act of doing a job, then he has the right to be able to contact you back without your permission to be able to remind you of that job. He's not marketing any other services. He's marketing what's called related services.
Yep. And there's a lot of – sorry, David. I think there's a lot of fear about that amongst business owners as well. You know, there's a lot of talk about spam and spam laws, particularly in Australia, because we do have very, very tight laws in this country. So it blows my mind some of the stuff that is acceptable overseas. It'd be kind of cool as a marketer. It makes your job a whole lot easier. You can reach a lot more people. But, you know, I actually support our laws here in Australia, and New Zealand is quite similar.
But reach is one thing. Response is what we actually want. So you could go and spam a million people with a great deal, but I can tell you that the standard response rate for spam communication is 0.25%.
What's some of the stats? It's a great point when we start looking at certainly here with some of these SMS messages, you know, sending a message out to say, hey, we did a job for you, you know, would you like us to do it for you again?
Yeah.
Have you got any examples or some stats around that just to give listeners an idea of how effective this can be?
Yeah. So firstly, sending a message as a tradesman or a small business operator, sending a message to somebody, say hypothetically a year after you last saw them, the first of which would be not to say, would you like me to come again? Because you're actually better to send it as a reminder. Because most customers are very binary in their choices. You send them a reminder to say, it's a year since you've had X service done. Would you like to book again? Click this number. Don't say, would you not like to book again? Just say, when you'd like to book again, click this number. And I do have an example for you. So we've had a number of what we would call trial or beta customers using repeat booking now for the last 6 months. And our foundation partner, who's actually a very good friend of mine, he runs a business as a domestic high-end oven and barbecue cleaner. That's what he does for a living. And it's a very profitable business if you can have lots of customers every day. Mm-hmm. But you can imagine that as a single operator with a nicely decked out van and two kids that scream at you every morning and every afternoon and the like, my mate, I assure you, is busy enough doing two jobs a day and doesn't have time to barely do the books at the end of the day, let alone any outbound marketing. And that's actually the funny story about how we started repeat booking, because he came and was doing actually the oven at my mother and father's house. And I said to him, how's business going? And he goes, oh, it's good for the next 2 weeks, but, you know, I've got no bookings after that. And I said, but surely you just go back to everybody you just went to a year ago and say, hey, your oven's due for a clean. And he went, oh, that's a good idea. I've never thought about that. And I said, but hang on, if I could automate that for you, would you pay for me to do that for you? He goes, oh, absolutely. Fast forward 1 year, we actually built the system, stuck his database onto repeat booking and started sending automated SMSs to every one of his customers 1 year after the last known invoice date. And the repeat booking platform now represents somewhere between 50 and 62% of his daily business.
Mm.
And he's at the point right now he needs to put another person on to replicate his service.
I think we forget that we're actually doing the clients a favor by reminding them. It's yes. a service to remind them to do the thing. Like when I think about my air conditioners, if I don't have them cleaned every year, I void the extra warranties that I have.
Right.
And if the business that installed those air conditioners don't remind me, I forget. And there goes my warranty because I've forgotten. So that business is actually doing me a favor, a service by reminding me. And I absolutely press that button to book it every single time because otherwise I would have forgotten and I know I void my warranty.
And the same can be said for your pest control services and your domestic cleaning services or even just an electrician or a plumber who knows full well that people have an aggregated amount of work that needs to be done over the year, and you can just send them a reminder 1 year later to say, hey, I fixed up some things at your house last year. Got anything needs to be done? Click on this number.
And every house has a hot water system and a switchboard and smoke alarms. And, you know, I literally glanced at the little sticker in my wife's car this morning on the way back from the gym to see when it was due for a service. And it's the modern version of the mechanic's sticker on the back of the windscreen. And I've had mechanics not put the sticker on before, and it's like, damn it, I don't know when this thing's due for a service now. I'll have to go and check the logbook and, you know, find the invoice, and it's all too hard. So it just it's such a simple thing.
So the reality is that what we're talking about here is one of the three key triggers as to why businesses and small businesses need to have automated systems like this. Firstly, people don't remember when they need your service next time. Your customers are not good enough to know when they need you again. Secondly, I'll guarantee you that most of them lose your telephone number and therefore have no idea who you are, what you were. I mean, my mate who's the oven cleaner, my mother's been having him clean the oven for the last 10 years. My mother rings me every time. What's your mate's telephone number? So if I'm not around, what happens? She goes on to Google, she goes looking for an alternative, and it's just a vicious circle again.
And it's a real thing too. Over the years, I've dug into a bit of Google search traffic numbers for various businesses, including our own. And it's well, I won't say mind-blowing, it's probably scary, the amount of Google searches that are customers, existing customers, going to Google to find your phone number as the business owner. It's like Bob's Plumbing Service. They literally typed that in because, like, his name was Bob. He did the thing with the plumbing. Oh, I'll Google his name.
Yeah.
And it's like, and if Bob's not all over his website and his SEO and everything else, up comes 700 other plumbers in the area, including all the people spending money on ads. And it's like, oh, that looks like a good deal. Yeah. And Bob's just lost a customer.
And on top of that, Bob probably used to have a nice fridge magnet or a sticker that he'd have made, and definitely probably, you know, sweated over the design of his business card for 3 months and didn't actually understand that, firstly, in the case of my oven cleaner, mate, that most people have, you know, a $10,000 or $5,000 oven and they don't want an ugly sticker on it, so they take it off. Most people have got a lovely stainless steel fridge these days and nobody wants any magnets on those. And the business card went straight in the bin the minute that he handed it over. And that's why, for example, we encourage our subscribers at Repeat Booking to also invest the time to make a VCF card so that when you are when you meet a new client, you send them a VCF card so they can save it to their phone.
Can you just explain for some of our less tech-savvy listeners, what a VCF card is, David?
Yeah, so in both Android phones and in iPhones, you can create a contact, as you do with every other contact, you can create a contact which is you. And you can put your name and your business details and email addresses and addresses and everything. And then when you have that contact, you can actually share that to any other mobile phone user. So that becomes like a virtual business card. You're sending your contacts to people, and it's called a VCF file that arrives in the inbox of the recipient, and they can choose to save it to their phone.
Simple stuff.
It is simple.
And that's the beautiful thing about retention-based marketing is the fancy name for it, but loving your current customers is just, you know, making it easy is actually easy, and it's not expensive.
Well, I mean, if you take the analogy that I said right at the beginning, which is it costs 15 times as much to acquire a new customer, just simply give your existing customers a reason to rebook with you. Remind them and give them a reason. So my mate who's the oven cleaner, rebook with me now, I'll give you $50 off. He's booked out for months.
Something else that I talk to people about, sorry, Nicole, is that marketing costs. And actually, you know, if you think about the amount of money that people spend on Facebook marketing, SEO, you know, Google AdWords, whatever they're doing, even if it's offline marketing with flyers and those sorts of things, networking breakfasts, you know, they spend thousands of dollars on those strategies.
Yeah.
reinvest some of that back into your existing clients. And exactly as you say, you know, $50 off, it's like, oh, you know, I'm not discounting my services. And so you're not discounting your service. You're actually, you're investing in marketing. You know, it's, that's the acquisition cost to retain a customer rather than the exorbitant acquisition cost of buying a new customer who then leaves you again next year anyway. So, you know, why not give some of your marketing dollars back to your existing customers and they will love you for it? You know, even referral fees and programs and loyalty bonuses and those sorts of things. It's like that should be seen, listeners, as part of your marketing investment.
And to really dovetail into that, you've got to be really mindful that I would suspect that a lot of your listeners run local businesses. They're in a very much a local environment.
Mm.
And Google AdWords and Facebook and all of these gigantic businesses are fantastic at convincing you that it's going to be the secret sauce to the rest of your business success. But the truth is that being able to zero in social media or search marketing down at a local level is nearly impossible. And I would actually suggest to you that if it wasn't for Facebook closed groups that are, you know, for example, in Sydney here we have, you know, the living ones where you can be in Cammeray or Surry Hills or Manly or whatever, that they're kind of worth it. But at a sustained level, it's a waste of money. Because you just become part of the white noise of that site. And in terms of search, I struggle with how to local area market in search. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I think that we're overlooking a really crucial element here, and it's something that trade business owners don't do well, and that is to measure the return on their investment. And when you're talking about, you know, spending on those local searches that they do, Google AdWords, Facebook, newspaper advertising, all of that stuff, I don't think many of them are actually measuring how many clients they get out of that and what the job value is. And yet you're talking about a system that's low cost, very easy to use. And in one business alone, it's improved the return bookings by 50 to 62%. That's a huge return on investment. So my challenge would be to all of the listeners to start mapping out, test and measure, figure out what your return on investment is for your current advertising campaigns, and then have a little think about, okay, is it worthwhile investing in that on a continuing basis moving forward? Because not all forms of marketing work for all businesses. The big conglomerates will have us thinking that they're going to, and yet they really don't. And we become so brainwashed by this thought that this is going to work because Facebook tells me it's going to work, that we keep pushing forward on that style of advertising without getting a return on investment.
Yeah,
it's so funny you say this. So I'll give you a classic example of this. So the first car company I went to work for in Australia, my office was in Wetherill Park in southwest Sydney, and my CEO lived in Castle Hill. So we had to strategically have an outdoor billboard for that car brand on his drive home. And I can assure you that the cost of that was probably somewhere in the vicinity of $200,000 a year, all to make the CEO feel good on the way home.
But that's what so much marketing and advertising is basically that.
It is a feel-good thing. My challenge to most of your listeners who are, if they're struggling with what's just been described, is stop spending your marketing and see what change there is to your business to start with.
Yeah,
just literally stop it because all you're doing is making yourself feel good.
Yeah. And
turn up on time, well presented, look great, do a professional service, bill appropriately. Guess what? Remind them when they need it again. I assure you that word of mouth and retention marketing will grow your business.
My personal theory on this from observation over the years and having been in business for more than 20 years sort of gives you – well, gives me a bit of with age comes a little bit of luxury of you know, perspective and some rearwards view of what's happened over the years. Once upon a time, you, and I'm doing inverted commas here with my fingers, listeners, you had to be on television. If you wanted to get customers, you had to have a TV ad or at least a radio ad. You know, you had to be on commercial radio. If you weren't on commercial radio, you just weren't going to get customers. Yellow Pages was the same. And then bus ads, you know, you had to have a bus ad. You had to be seen on the side of a bus driving around Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide, wherever it is that you are. And of the last maybe 5 years or so, perhaps a little longer, you have to be advertising on Facebook and Google. And it's the next have to. But as Nicole said, it's not actually backed by, certainly not anymore, by results. You know, we see lots and lots of people, I'm sure, David, you see the same thing, of people chucking money at this because they fear that if they're not advertising on there, they're missing out on that secret pot of gold at the end of the Facebook rainbow that apparently exists. And it's an absolute furphy, which most of the younger listeners won't have any idea what that is.
It's a beer.
It's not even a beer.
It's a beer.
Very Queensland of you, mate.
But it's a myth. Even if the results are there, again, going back to what Coxie said and what we've been talking about, the return on investment doesn't stack up compared to something like retention strategies, like turning up on time, you know, sticking a freaking teardrop banner out the front of the house when you're doing the thing at the house. So, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner, can I stick my thing in your lawn? I'll make sure I don't damage the camellia bush. And that flaps around on the street with your brand on it, and everybody in the street knows that you were there.
And here's another one, if you like it. So I'll come back to my oven cleaner, mate. I said to him, I'll give you another tip. Whenever you go to a house, go to the neighbours on either side and put an offer in the letterbox.
Yep.
Guess what? One in ten. One in ten. Unbelievable.
And you don't need to figure out the beast that is Facebook targeting. And as you said earlier, David, I think it's such a great point for those of you listening to this, which you are if you just heard me say that. So I guess that's really a redundant statement. But or maybe you've got this on but you're not listening to me because it's like Woz is talking again. It's the local stuff. It's the targeting that is such a difficult thing to get right with online platforms. You know, getting to, I don't know, wherever you are with your trade business and actually targeting the people that you want to talk to, not just geographically, but even interest-wise or, you know, income level or lifestyle that they live, because there's a certain profile of your clients and you're not necessarily going to get that right anytime in the next 50 years on an online platform.
And that's changed. I think it's important to point out that with the new privacy changes within the iPhone, and that's only just the beginning, you now have to opt in to be tracked. Who's going to opt in to be tracked? I'm not, which makes all of that online advertising redundant anyway. I can't find my clients there anymore. Mm. So it just, the whole concept of that online advertising is no longer relevant. We have to move with the times and find the next thing that's going to work because it does change so frequently.
And on top of that, I even though we're probably going to get a little technical, but there are massive changes going to be occurring in the online advertising space in the next 12 months. Fundamentally, Google have made a decision to not allow what's called a tracking cookie to be placed on your browser anymore, which will mean that the retargeted advertising specialists, the people who are convincing you that if you spend thousands of dollars of advertising with them, they actually can't retarget customers for you. So, you know, I think the sentiment is right that you've got to go down a pathway which is measurable, which is affordable, and that actually works. Mm. And you know, that's why we had a go at saying repeat booking is not the fix for everything, but it's a systematic approach to one part of your business. And you know, I'll give you one tip was, you know, Tim, our oven cleaner, he goes, right, okay, so I know who all my customers are for the last 12 months, but I said to him, but what about your customers for the last 5 years? He goes, oh yeah, I haven't spoken to a lot of them for a while. I said, that's the point, mate. So what we did was, so at Repeat Booking, what we do is you create an account and you extract from your software, whether or not you use Xero or MYOB or the filing box or your book or whatever it is you want to use, And all we ask you to do is just extract a CSV or a file, which basically has the customer's first name, the customer's mobile phone number, and the date that you last saw them. That's all you need to put in. And then what we do is you upload it into the system and it fully automates a SMS from you that you choose that allows you to be able to send it. We send it on your behalf to your customers 1 year after that last invoice date. Now, what we did, though, with Tim was we took his customers from the second to fifth years ago and we just changed all the dates to say that we pretended that they all happened last year. So he's now regenerating. And the reason why he's got such a growth in his business is that the customers from 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago are coming back to him and going, oh, it's so good that you messaged me. I'd lost your number and I didn't know how to get a hold of you. Miraculous. Miraculous. Yeah. So that's how simple repeat booking is. And repeat booking, we do that for, depending on the size of your database, but call it $1 a day.
And that answers a question I was going to throw out there just so people get a sense of how affordable these sorts of strategies are. And I'll say, listeners, that something like this, now whether you use repeat booking or whether you do this a different way, it is one part of your overall marketing strategy, your arsenal, I guess, and you need to have multiple strategies running. And by strategy, it could just mean tuck your shirt in and you know, wash your hands before you go to the next job. Like the little things, we talk a lot about the one percenters. You know, you add all the one percenters up and they make a bloody big difference to what is, you know, a crowded marketplace no matter the trade. We have trade businesses try and convince us here at Tradies in Business that, but it's different for them in landscaping. You don't understand. It's really competitive. And it's like, yes, it is really competitive in landscaping and plumbing and electrical and glazing and building and tiling, you name it. It's a crowded marketplace. And, you know, the old strategies don't necessarily work. You can't just chuck 30 grand at a bus ad or a TV ad or something and expect to get customers.
Yeah, customers want their – we say it in the car industry that customers want their hands held. But I'll give you an interesting model from the last car company I worked for. That car company starts with a T. It's quite large. there's a saying in that company which is, they're only your customer if they buy from you twice. Mm. Otherwise, they're just on a test drive.
Mm. Mm. Yep.
So the minute that you actually have a customer who actually buys from you a second time, then you actually can call them your customer.
Mm. Mm. And then there's increasing levels beyond that of how engaged they are and how sticky they are. And that takes work from the business to actually, you know, get people to advocates and raving fans, you know, that start to actually refer business. You know, they're still almost teeter-tottering at that level. Yeah, they're a customer, but what's going to get them coming back again?
But, I mean, take my mother with the oven cleaner. She's been using a bloke for 9 years and still doesn't know his telephone number.
Yeah.
But she's a really loyal customer and she'll advocate for him all the time.
Yeah.
Except she doesn't have his telephone number and can't tell anybody how to get a hold of him.
Yep.
If that's what loyalty is, then I think what the lesson out of it is you can't rely on the customer for everything. You've got to facilitate everything for the customer and make it easy for them, really easy.
Mm.
And that, I feel, is the answer to my question of, if you had 1,000 tradies in a room, David, what's one piece of advice you would leave them with? Is there something different you'd like to chuck in there?
Yeah, look, we've obviously spoken to a lot of tradies in building repeat booking. So, and we have a great deal of empathy and understanding for the long days that, you know, for some of them start at 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning. And I can imagine what it's like getting home at the end of the day and being confronted with MYOB or zero and two kids and a wife that wants this and the footy game's on and he wants three beers. So my greatest piece of advice is you've got to find time once a quarter, once every half year, whatever it is, to say, I need to make sure that my systems are in place to sustain my business moving forward. That's my greatest piece of advice. Because, yes, we've got a thing called repeat booking, and we're perfect for a little company that might use a entry version of Xero or MYOB. You know, there are other services out there like TradingRate and the like that offer SMS services, but they're quite expensive services and they're probably suited to sort of more medium-sized businesses that are prepared to invest in that stuff. But if you're a small business operator who, you know, you're just operating by yourself or you've got an offsider or you've got a, you know, a couple of vans, it's finding the time to have a systematic approach to it is my greatest piece of advice. And there are people, like, for example, if you wanted to sign up with Repeat Booking and you have a problem, we'll get on the phone and talk to you and we'll even fix up your database for you and update it. I mean, there are people out there who will help you.
Mm. Yeah, and I think that's a great point. There are solutions that mean you don't have to spend 7 hours on a Sunday night sorting all this out yourself. There's fantastic tech that's easy to use with great businesses that actually have people that you can talk to, even in Australia these days. I mean, it's probably one of the big changes with the last 18 months is, you know, we get to talk to lots more domestically based call center operators that just kind of understand the market. They know where Castle Hill is, you know, and they kind of get it.
And there's two other tips I'll give you is always ask the customer what their mobile phone number is and always ask the customer how they found out about you.
Mm. Love it. Love it. David, it's been a great chat, mate. Listeners, there is a ton of stuff in there to hopefully let off another one of what I love to refer to as a brain grenade, a bit of an extreme vision, but there's plenty of things you can do to keep your customers coming back. It is such a – for us, it's a no-brainer as business coaches and business owners, but it's not always staring everybody in the face. And I think that's the thing is how do we then go about doing that? Obviously, David and the crew have a fantastic product there that works for you, and there's plenty of other ways to do it depending on the size of your business. So, David, if people want to find out more about what you guys do, it's all the dubs, repeatbooking.com.au if you're in Australia.
Correct.
And if they're somewhere else, just drop the AU and make it a .com.
Yeah, I mean, we're operating just in Australia at the moment. I think we're going to move it to New Zealand at some point. You know, it's taken us a long time to get the tech right. Really appreciate you letting your subscribers know about it. Tech's not cheap. Tech is fraught with difficulties, but we wanted to make sure that it actually worked before we told anybody about it. So it works fine, and I can tell you for the people using it right now, they're seeing some really good results.
Well, our listeners know that Coxie and I are absolute tech wizards based on the way we run sessions and podcasts and everything else, and there may have been some Friday sarcasm in there. So, David, thanks for your time today, mate. Fantastic product, and you're solving a big problem in the marketplace, so thank you.
Thanks, David.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Tradies in Business podcast with Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Find out more about today's guest, tools for your trade business, and other cool stuff at tradiesinbusiness.com.au.